Hello and welcome back to another Buffy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Kristen.
And we are going to geek out about Buffy. I feel I'm putting so much emphasis on everything because we're in season five and I'm so excited.
I know, I'm so excited.
Today's episode is season five, episode one, Buffy versus Dracula.
Woohoo!
This is the Dracula episode. No need to explain.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
I love the top of my notes is just, we open on Buffy being unsatisfied in bed.
Oh my God, that is literally exactly what I was going to start with. Just like totally sexually unsatisfied. Riley is just like peacefully sleeping after probably the world's most mediocre missionary sex, and Buffy is like so restless she can't sleep. She's tossing and turning. She even looks at him and gets like a little bit irritated.
Yeah.
And then she gets out of bed and she starts hunting, and I just like, every time I watch this episode,
the way she looks at him is very like, this is your fault.
Yeah, I'll get you again, this again, yeah. Please.
Oh God, it's so good.
I like have, this is okay, we've said it before and we're getting a little bit of pushback from the Elysian Fields people. I am like, I don't like Riley, that's been made clear, but I am mostly whatever with him as Buffy's boyfriend for all of season four. I'm mostly whatever. It's mostly fine. He's all wrapped up in the initiative stuff. So like, if you wanted to, you could hand wave a lot of his bad behavior as like other like stress in his life. You know what I mean? Yeah. From now on, no.
Done.
Yeah. He's super done. Like, there's not even anything.
So bad in this episode.
So bad.
Ooh.
So bad.
Ooh.
Like multiple different ways of being bad. Ugh.
Yeah, this season five, it's funny you say that because we have like just aired episode three or whatever, and so like we're still in the broadcasting portion of our podcast, like, you know, Riley's just not, he's not even with Buffy, he's just a doof and nobody really cares,
it's
and
fine.
There's nothing damning, and then eventually he gets, you know, we spoke about it a lot in season four where he said he did a lot of shit that's like relationship enders, but it's like that's in the context of like what we want for Buffy,
right?
He's also like a lot of quote unquote nice guys out there, and so it's just like whatever, like he's just whatever. But in season five,
it's just from literally minute one,
so bad.
Minute one, he's not even conscious, and I'm like, you fucking son of a bitch,
you
not satisfying your girlfriend, unbelievable.
You see who's next to you.
it's unreal to me.
Yeah, it's so bad. That's 3 minutes on the very first frame of the show.
Sorry. I'm not sorry. Sucks to suck.
Yeah. It's Buffy gets out of bed and she hunts. She goes to hunt. I love the tonal shift this season of Buffy actively tapping it, because she's grown. Like season three was really good about her coming into her own as a leader, and season four was like a lot of her finding herself and kind of being on her own.
Yeah.
Which we kind of find out from Giles' perspective in this episode as well. But this season, she gets more active and like being the Slayer.
Yeah.
And in a way that is, because she's always been like, well, we even talked about it after Prophecy Girl. She's like, all right, fine, this is my calling. And she gets annoyed here and there, but for the most part, she's like that. But now she's like, oh, this is who I am, and I need to know all aspects of it.
Well, I think what I like about it is that that stuff's all true. But in addition to that, it does also, in like a less psychotic way, but it feels like she's tapping into the stuff that Faith always was saying about being a Slayer, how it's like it's innate to them and they can't like do anything but kind of succumb to the power of it and, you know, all of this stuff. And to tie it back to how the episode opens, it does have like sexual connotations. Like,
yeah,
she is tapping into something, which also piggybacks off of Restless and Primeval. Like, she's picking up on something and she's tapping into something that is very innate to her being and kind of like older than time and all of this stuff. And like, of course, that kind of power is going to have a sexual component, which is how the like Dracula stuff actually gets going in here, and how, not for nothing, but like, this episode is the beginning of the end of the Riley relationship.
Yeah.
Because it's so clear that he's not on the level with her. And even though for her it's subconscious at this point, he is even picking up on it, or else he wouldn't be so butthurt the entire episode about, you know, Dracula's penetrating eyes or whatever.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, when we get to that. Oh. Yeah. It's also like, it's also like Buffy's healing herself, because she's been through so much trauma, even like being told she's the Slayer and, you know, keeping secrets from her parents. Her parents get divorced. She's moving towns. She's got this huge response. Like, these are huge things to put on a child.
Yeah.
And so she had all this trauma, and then all the angel trauma, and then all the, you know, dying trauma, like all this stuff that she never really worked on.
Yeah.
In season four, I felt like her floundering and kind of being out on her own helped her kind of get to this headspace she's in now, where she's like, I need to focus on me, which is also why she starts to, I think, subconsciously realize, like, Riley's not on my level.
Yeah. I also think it's one of those really fascinating things that you realize the more as you get older, where it's like, when you are young and you are in college and or even high school, and you're like doing these things because they're like required of you, it feels like a chore. But then it's like, once you reach a certain level and you're like, oh no, I like need to focus on this thing. Like, I need to do this, but like on purpose. And so, not to jump all the way to the end, but like, that is sort of like what she's coming to also, where it's like, now that she's in this place, and like you said, she floundered a lot in season four, and even though she came out of it successful and, you know, potentially stronger, she's like, I need to actually give this my focus. And it's because she's choosing to do it that it becomes successful for her, that it like actually helps her, and she's able to like maintain that going forward. And I just like, there's so many things about season five that I love so much, and that is like one of them, is like finally like being able to be the one who chooses the path that you're gonna go on. Even though it was destined for you, you are still choosing to like give it everything you've got. And I actually love that about this season. And I love that like this throwaway first episode is really like the overarching themes of the season, and like thesis of season five is like neon signs in this episode. I think it's
absolutely
fantastic.
Yeah, they do a lot of really great stuff with the way they structure this. And then this is random. Are they sleeping in Buffy's bed? Is this, because it didn't look like her bed.
I think it was her bed.
Was it her bed? It was just the close up. They didn't do the wide. So I was like,
no, I think it must be. I mean,
she's staying with her mom over the summer, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Joyce can't really.
No, it wasn't like she brought a boy home. It was more just like, I couldn't. It's for some reason it seemed like it wasn't her bed, but then.
Well, she didn't have those absurd crocheted pillowcases, so.
Yeah. and then we come in after the credits on the beach. I think this is the only time they've ever been to the beach in the entire series.
Except for when Buffy is dreaming of Angel when she's in Los Angeles. But,
I wrote that
like,
in my notes,
real,
except for the Angel dream.
It's the only for real time they go to the beach. Yeah. No, that's a lie. In Go Fish, they have a bonfire at the beach.
Yeah, but during night.
But
yeah,
at
I
night,
think
yeah.
I think because it stands out. And I understandably so, it feels weird. And it might feel weird because it's the only time. Because, you know, the only other time, like you said, was in a dream where it's supposed to feel weird. And then this time I was just like, oh, and I can't put my finger on if it's like, oh, they're not there all the time, so this feels weird, or, oh, I don't want to watch this show that always takes place at night on the beach.
I think it's a couple things. It's weird that they're hanging out in the day, like, and also doing like a specifically daytime activity, which is like just hanging out at the beach. But in addition to that, I always sort of imagined that Sunnydale wasn't very close to the beach. Like, it's like West Covina, where it's like four hours with there's traffic. So I never really, it just feels weird that they should be that close to the beach but they just don't go ever.
Well, I think we talked about it before too, where like it would take me like 15-20 minutes to get to the beach, and we never go to the beach. Like, when you're that close to the beach, it's just like, oh, you know, one of these days we'll go. Like, you don't care.
Yeah. Do you know what's more convenient than, because it takes us like an hour to get to the beach, and it's a lot more convenient to walk out my back door and go in the pool.
Right. You're like, that's a lot of driving. I don't
want to drive that far.
And then Riley tells Buffy she plays quarterback like a girl, and she fucks him up with a football.
Anybody ever told Team U the quarterback throws like a girl?
I do. Oh, sorry.
Which I love. Because fuck you, Riley. I know he's just trying to quote unquote be playful, but I'm like, let's not.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. It just like, ugh. Like they're just literally tossing a football back and forth. They're like not doing any. They're not even playing like flag football or anything. And it's just the two of them. So they're just literally throwing a football back and forth, and he has to neg her about it. And I'm just like, she is. She's
just playing catch with you. It goes back to the whole, like, I don't want you to hold back. I'm like, she can snap your neck with her fingers, Riley. Shut up. Just stop talking and be happy where you are, and you're going to go away soon.
Like, if she flicked you in the temple, you would pass away. Like, it's ridiculous.
You don't need to do anything. And then the Scoobies talk about realizing why they're sidekicks, because they don't want to do all that exertion. And I was like, am I a sidekick? I think I'm a sidekick.
We are both sidekicks, for sure.
Like, I very much am not into exertion.
I'm going to be whoever the one is that's like sitting at the computer eating chips.
Yeah.
And like, that's me.
Xander can't start a fire. Willow lights it with magic. Everybody's impressed. And I don't know if the weather changes because of her magic, because she says it wasn't me. And then we cut to Dracula, and the assumption is like Dracula coming to town caused it. These both seem rather drastic. Like,
yeah,
that as a reaction to a flame spell, and that as a reaction to Dracula being in town, both seem like really large things to happen.
Well, Dracula has like a higher than normal concentration of magic, I think.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I just don't think it was Willow, because even like nobody was like, no, Willow, don't do that, which like most of the time she does spells, that's what happens,
right?
If Giles isn't there like grounding her. So like, I don't know, I don't think it was Willow. I think it was Dracula in this moment.
I'm pretty sure it was Dracula. Nostalgia, and then, but then also they're like, you know, they're keeping this course steady of Willow's power growing, which is great. And then so this is super random and stupid, but I have such nostalgia for this score that comes in. When we cut to Dracula, because I used it in that Extra Life promo with Emma, so it's like the full thing. Every time it comes on, I'm like, oh!
Oh, look, so cute!
I'm the Vampire Slayer. How may I slay you?
And then the guys bring Dracula box, busts through, kills the guy. Willow is helping Giles scan. So apparently she's been helping him all summer.
Yeah.
And she's kind of over it.
Doesn't winter seem more like archiving season?
Which
like, it
I
does.
Am, I am yeah. down with. I'm like, yeah, that's what, when you're
I'm on her team.
Yeah, when you're in, like, do it. I know I think we see on the same... We're on the same wavelength for Giles in season 6.
Yeah.
But here, I agree with his choice in this moment.
I do and I don't. I do because he's right. He's like, I haven't been her watcher in 2 years. Like, there's really no reason for me to be here. And I want you. And he's also, he's like making strides to make sure they're prepared. He's like, I don't want to leave you guys in the lurch. So like, this is why I've been doing all this stuff, all the projects all summer. And so in that sense, I'm like, no, I get it. Like, he also is not employed by the council anymore. It makes sense, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, when he says Buffy doesn't need me, I'm like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, how can you think that in the first place? Because as recent as 3 months prior, she needed you pretty seriously to defeat the bad guy. And then in addition to that, I'm like, literally, how dare you make another decision without her input? Like, are you out of your mind? And, yeah. And so that's the stuff where it's like, I can agree with the act of leaving, but I don't agree with his reasons. And then especially even when Willow is like, but what about the rest of us? We need you.
Right.
And he just is like, it goes back to the thing that we've talked about before, where it's like, why is he not taking a more vested interest in Xander?
Yeah.
You know, and then like, why is he, like, how is he not training Willow about magic as well? Like,
yeah.
How are he and Willow and Tara not like on a weekly call with the Devon Coven, which we don't even know about yet?
Right. Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff that I'm just like, there's such an opportunity for like richer storytelling in here. And we just like don't really get some of the things that I think we should. Mm-hmm. In these moments, and that's definitely one of the things. So, like, again, yes, I agree with you that, like, this time with Giles leaving or, like, trying to leave is not as terrible as the season six stuff, but I still don't agree with the way he's doing it.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think the fact that he's, like, doing all this work over the summer in secret with Willow and
yeah.
then also is, like, don't tell her. It's, like,
yeah.
it should have been reversed. It should have been, like, hey, Buffy, I think I should probably go.
Yeah.
And, like, leave it open. Like, if Buffy says, no, I need you here, then stay here.
100%.
Like, be her support because that's who you've become. That's who we yeah. established. You're the father figure. You know that you're the father figure to her. Mm-hmm. And you and I both have talked about how, like, the show fails in its sense of not making Giles kind of step up for Willow and Xander.
Right.
Because it would be so much more powerful for these to be his kids, essentially.
100%. And I think that's the type of thing where it's like just the time that the show came out.
Yeah.
Because like if it was now, they just would be
yeah.
his kids.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, I get it. I get why you came to this. Like, that's where I am. Like,
sure.
I get why he came to this realization, but I agree with you. I don't think that he should have gone about it this way. It's
yeah.
very much in a, like, I'm going to get everything prepared and be, like, on my way to the plane so that Buffy can't tell me to stay. And it's like,
yeah.
that's not how you handle this.
Yeah, because it does
Buffy
sort of
has
feel
dealt with a lot of males abandoning her. Like,
yeah.
this is not the move, dude.
Because it does really feel like he's going to just, like, bolt in the night. Like, he's just gonna, one day she's gonna be like, where's Giles? And there's
right.
gonna be some like new fucking person in his apartment, and I'm just
right.
sort of like, what, how do you think this is gonna go?
Yeah,
when you
and
tell
I,
her
and obviously to the listener, we know you get to the end of the episode, you know he's gonna mm-hmm. tell her, but it's like it's positioning it all like he's like gonna do it on the day
yeah.
he's like, he most likely has plane tickets
yeah
when, like that tonight when he's gonna tell her and
and that's another thing about Giles is he always has the plane tickets already and
yeah.
I'm like,
like, that's expensive, sir. You
come
don't
on.
Have a job
from Los Angeles to London.
Yeah,
that's expensive as fuck.
That's great. But yeah, so that's he's planning on leaving. Willow's bummed. And I also think it plays into the tautness between them in season
yeah.
six.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Willow is a little burned that he's just like, you know, Buffy doesn't need me. Fuck y'all, I'm out.
Yeah,
and
it's
like, it's, but like you said, it's like everybody needs you. Like,
what about the rest of us?
Yeah, just get a fucking job somewhere and then
yeah.
keep being cool. Buffy and Joyce finish up dinner. Buffy pretends to not want to go slay.
I kind of have to get out on patrol.
Now it's 8:30.
Well, vamps don't really care what time it is. You know, dark equals dinner bell.
Right. Of course.
She's like, ugh, I'm sorry, Mom. I just have to go do this thing. And then totally loves it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just love that she's eating up slaying. It's such a great shift.
It's really fun watching her really embrace it. For, like,
yeah.
the first time that we've seen, she's like fully
yeah.
embracing it as like her job and something that she enjoys doing, which I really appreciate, because we also just don't really get that many slays during
yeah.
season four, because
yeah.
it's not really about that in
yeah.
like in the breadth of the story or whatever. But this is like, it's really good.
There's that one that's gonna, we'll talk about it when it comes, but it's I think the episode's called Out of My Mind, maybe. And it's that one I was texting you. This was way back when I was animating the Slayerverse animation.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there's this shot that's in my brain of Buffy on top of a crypt looking for a vampire emerging, and she sees it, and she like jumps off and runs and like pulls him out and stakes him right away, and it's the coolest shit. And it's at the opening of Out of My Mind, or it's one part of Out of My Mind, and it's so, I just love it so much. I love watching her on the hunt and like perfecting her craft. And then Dracula shows up. I think it's such great casting. to me, like this, I feel like this could be, I feel like he's right in the middle where he's fun in a way that works for the comics, because he comes back in the comics.
Oh, he does. That's right. Yeah.
So he's like fun and he's formidable, but he's not too scary and he's not too cheesy. Like for some reason for me, he really works because he's like right in the middle for what we need in this episode. He doesn't detract too much from the main story of Buffy's journey.
Yeah.
And it is like, oh, neat. And there's the spike aspect and all that stuff. But it's not like, oh my God, this is terrifying. Like, this guy really wants to kill you. And it's not, that's okay. So fucking stupid. I don't care about Dracula at all.
I see what you mean. You said casting, and I was like, I think he could be hotter. But I see what you mean for sure. And I also think, one of the issues that I have with like the Buffyverse in general is that every once in a while, because here's the thing, is if it were consistent from start to finish, I would allow it, but it's very inconsistent and it's only sometimes. He's wearing too much makeup.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he's
how
got
white
way
he is.
Too much.
Yeah.
So white. It's like, it's too much. And like, especially because he's not older than Darla.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, Darla's not that white, and then Angel's not that white, and Spike's not that white. The only one who even came close to that was the Master, and I don't think Dracula is as old as the Master, 1,000 years old.
Do we know that he's not older than Darla?
I mean, I guess we don't know for sure.
Yeah, we don't know how old he is.
But regardless,
I assume that he puts the makeup on to build that persona.
Oh shit.
Of like,
okay, fine. Then I'm totally down. If that's the answer, then I'm 100% down for that. That's so fucking funny. I can't even stand it.
He bites Buffy's neck and then white powder comes off.
Change approved. I'm there. I'm here for it. Let's do that. Yeah. He puts the makeup on for sure. Absolutely. I love that.
That's great. Now you're just, every time you watch Buffy vs. Dracula, you're just gonna chuckle when you see him.
That's like so much funnier. Well, especially because after we get the meeting scene with Riley and Spike, and Spike is like, it's all just smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Like it's just
tricks. It's all just a show. Yeah,
that actually makes so much sense that he's like even putting on the actual physical facade of it.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I love that. So yeah, perfect. Never mind.
Fully approved.
Fully approved.
And then so yeah, so that was she meets Dracula. Then we cut to Willow and Xander walking to meet up with Buffy. Xander grossly says he'd love to hear a naughty secret about Tara and Willow.
Xand, what if somebody had a secret and that somebody promised somebody else that they wouldn't tell anyone?
Newsflash, Will, everybody knows.
No, this isn't about me and Tara.
Oh, well, not that I wouldn't be hilarious if you wanted to tell me a secret about you two, even if it was very, very naughty.
Sorry, this is the non-naughty variety.
I mean, okay, I'm having such a hard time. No, it is. It's gross. I'm having such a hard time because I'm like, that's not great to say to your friend.
Yeah.
Like, that's sort of horrible and disgusting. At the same time, it's like largely harmless. And Willow also is just like rolling her eyes. And she's like, I'm not going to tell you any of that. And like, so it feels, the way that they act it, it feels like something he's been saying since she and Tara like came out to the group. But yeah, I mean,
Which makes it worse if he keeps saying it. Like, because we talked about it in Restless where it's like, yes, everybody has thoughts in their head. And like, I don't hold anybody accountable. It could be like Xander randomly killing puppies or something. It's like, whatever. Like, I don't know why I do half the shit in my dreams.
Sure.
And I don't know what the message is of it. Not for the record, not dreaming of killing puppies. I'm just throwing a wild thing out there.
I don't know, Trevor. Sounds like something who dreams of killing puppies would say.
I drew that up really fast. but I think that saying it to the friend has been the problem that I always have with them, at least, where it's just like, that's not, I could never imagine saying that to a friend.
Someone. You know, I
whether it was about them, their gay relationship or straight relationship. Like, yeah. I couldn't imagine saying it like, tell me details about fucking your wife. Or like,
no, 100%.
It's, like, it's so weird.
You're allowed. That's the thing. That's like, I think what you're saying, where it's like you're allowed to imagine what your friends are like having sex, but you just don't talk about it with
right.
them.
Right.
That's what makes it
thing.
Awkward.
Yeah. And then she's basically like burning with this secret about Giles, which yeah. is unfair for Giles to put on her.
Totally.
And then we cut back to Buffy and Dracula.
And you're sure this isn't just some fanboy thing? Because I fought more than a couple pimply, overweight vamps that call themselves Lestat.
Love that.
Great. Buffy tries to kill Dracula and he keeps disappearing. Or I wrote, mm-hmm. keeps disapparating. It's like this... It's like the smoke effect.
Yeah.
Xander and Willow show up. I thought this was interesting because Xander isn't standing in front of Buffy, just blocking wise. Like, that just happens to be where he showed up. And he is so confident in mm-hmm. talking shit to this vampire because he has Buffy with him. And then the moment he realizes it's Dracula, his confidence wanes and he hides. It's an interesting... I might be looking too deep into this, so feel free yeah. to tell me that I'm thinking too much about it. But he hides behind Buffy, so it's like his belief that Buffy can take Dracula is questioned, but he still hides behind her because she's his only hope. It's like okay. this weird thing in his mind where he's just like, well, you can't do shit. Buffy's here. But then when he hears it's Dracula, he's like, oh, wait, maybe you will kill Buffy, but let me hide behind her. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I think it's maybe, I don't necessarily think you're looking too far into it, but I do think it's maybe just like the legend of Dracula maybe yeah. just like gets in his head a little.
Yeah.
I think he knows that Buffy would like go down trying to save him and Willow.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I might hide behind my strongest friend if... Dracula
no, for sure.
popped up in front of me too.
I just thought it was interesting that he didn't immediately position himself behind her the first time he saw a vampire. Like, he was just standing there like completely unbothered, like, oh, well, Buffy's always got my back. But the moment mm-hmm. it was Dracula, it was like he questioned her ability to take
yeah,
him. Like,
maybe just like the strength, like how old he is and the strength.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
the last time like, oh. she fought a vampire that old was the master. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah. And he might get to him faster or something. He doesn't really know.
Yeah.
It's not just a vampire.
Yeah. I do love this episode. And then also there's like a season 5 Angel episode where there are these like larger than life kind of legendary, you know, creatures mm-hmm. that exist, and they end up all kind of being just a joke.
Yeah.
Which I think is very funny.
It's great. Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't happen too often, but it happens often enough that it's like, I kind of love that.
Yeah. Turn it on its head. The Scoobies tell Giles and Riley. Riley is so insecure.
Immediately.
I told you he'd heard of me, right? I mean, can you believe that? Count Famous heard of me.
I couldn't believe it the first 20 times you told us, but it's starting to sink in now.
Immediately, this whole conversation is so bad. He's so bad in this scene.
The literal first words out of his mouth are like, yeah, we heard you the first 20 times you told.
Oh,
and I'm like,
he says it like such
you.
A dick. He's like, yeah, oh my God. Oh. Ooh, I wanted to punch Riley through the screen. I'm like, dude,
horrible.
you are showing your ass right now.
Yeah, oh, his whole ass is horrible.
Yeah, Giles seems reticent. Willow's trying to rally the Scoobies to recognize Giles. Like, oh, but Giles should have been there, which I
yeah.
think is, as much as I hate that he put this burden on her, I do think it's cute how much she keeps trying to be like, no, but we do need Giles. And Giles is
yeah.
like, all right, Willow, calm down.
It's fine. We're good.
It's cute and funny, but it's also like, fuck, man. Riley wants to just go kill Dracula because he's insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And then Riley also reminisces on how fast the initiative would be. I'm like, dude, let it go.
The initiative was still around. We'd be able to find everything on this guy in a few hours.
Which, I mean, it is true because that is exactly how they get him off the show. So it's like, fucking, you know, have your love with the military and be unable to leave it, whatever. But
also, like, were you drunk all of season 4? The
yeah,
initiative
like,
couldn't do shit.
Yeah, they didn't do it. anything.
They couldn't do anything, and they were being fully manipulated the literal entire time that we knew they existed by outside forces. What makes you think you've got a better shot? And also, everybody in the room with Riley in that moment took down the initiative.
Right, yeah. The initiative was the reason there were problems last season.
I don't buy it.
And then Riley says he's all worked up. He lies to Buffy and says he's all worked up and he can't go to sleep and he can't go have sex with Buffy, as if she's like trying to coax him into bed. Like, they both don't want to have sex.
I'm kind of wired. And maybe I should just let you get your rest.
Are you sure? I mean, maybe if you just lie down with me.
Nothing you're about to say will lead to rest.
I guess you're right. I'll see you in the morning.
Mm-hmm. With donuts.
Hmm. Heaven.
Well, they don't both want to have sex, but also
with each other.
Definitely with each other. Yes, she definitely wants to have sex with someone else. But I just think it's rich too that he's just like, no, like,
no,
I can't, not right now. And I'm like, fuck you. Just like, because then all he does is go to antagonize Spike.
Oh God, I can't
hate
wait.
It.
I can't wait. Yeah, it's also funny, too. It's like, you're insecure, and she's saying, hey, let's go bang. The answer to that is not, no, I'm going to go talk to this vampire.
Go talk to
in
your
a crypt.
Mortal
like,
enemy
yeah,
instead.
What the fuck are you doing, Riley?
He also, like, he gets a couple jabs in at Spike, too, where he's like,
you've helped Buffy before, so she has a problem with killing you now that you're helpless. I don't. I'd like to see you try. Would you?
And I just, like,
oh, yeah, I have some thoughts about that.
But he's like, but I'm not. And I'm like, so all you're doing is letting us know that you don't mind murdering an innocent creature. Or, like,
not innocent, but
a creature that can't defend itself.
I have some interesting thoughts about that.
It's horrible.
Anya and Xander are walking back.
Oh, yeah, because Anya knows Dracula, too.
Yeah, Anya knows Dracula, which is another one of those fun, like, she's 1,000 years old. She's like, I think I was, like, 700 or something. I do think... I don't know why I shouted that. I do think Xander's also insecure slightly here. Not as much as Riley, but yeah. Xander also has a little bit more reason, because Anya's like literally swooning over Dracula. She's like, oh, I don't even know if he'd remember me. And she's like talking.
Well, it
reminded me of prom when she's like reminiscing on all the things she did. And he's like, oh my God, shut
up. It's just enough of that. But it's also, I think he has a little more, I mean, jealousy is sort of just like the ugliest emotion that you can have, but
yeah.
He also does have a little bit more right to be jealous, because it's very clear that Anya had a sexual relationship with Dracula. And so it's like, this is an ex-lover that she's still sort of like physically pining over.
Right.
In a way that Xander is allowed to be insecure about that. About being like, now I've got to live up to another vampire. Like, what the shit? Like, I thought I was done with this when I got over my Buffy thing. Like, what are we doing?
And I love that Anya's like, what, are you jealous? And I'm like, what? I mean, I know you don't pick up on social cues, but come on, Anya.
Yeah. So, like, I'm going to give Xander a pass for being jealous. Yeah. I'm not going to give Riley a pass for being jealous, because
there's no reason.
Buffy didn't do anything.
Yeah, Riley. Oh, my God. And so many things that he says in this episode.
It's truly horrible. It's like wall to wall. Everything that comes out of Riley's mouth is just full trash in this episode.
Such
I hate
garbage.
It.
So bad. Dracula shows up to Xander, immediately controls him. It's hysterical. It's so funny.
Great. Perfect. You know what? You're not so big. One round of old-fashioned fisticuffs, I bet you'd fold like a bitty baby. Okay. Let's do it. But no poofing. Come on, puffy shirt. Pucker on up, because you can kiss your pale ass.
Silence.
Yes, master.
I love Xander being Dracula's bitch is so funny.
It's very, and I
the,
love it.
And the Dracula Xander relationship in the comics is super funny. I really like
it. Also that he just is like a total, like a full, he goes full Renfield so fast, because immediately when they're back in Giles's apartment, there is, first of all, the largest spider that you've ever seen
so
inside
big.
A house. It's humongous.
This is giant wolf spider. I'm like, oh my God.
And so he just starts eating bugs all over the place. I think it's absolutely hysterical.
When I see it too, I'm like, I don't think just hitting it with your hand will kill that thing. That's huge.
Also, like, Giles.
Yes.
What are you
apartment.
Leaving out that's attracting this humongous spider?
My God. And then Riley visits Spike. Spike hates Dracula. We already talked about Spike talks about like Dracula's all show and he owes him money. I think that's great world building. I think that's funny. And yeah. I love the Spike stuff. And then I like that Spike is like, you won't find him in a crypt. You'll mm-hmm. find him in a mansion because he's pretentious. And Riley's like, so I should look in a mansion? And Spike's like, no, you should go home like a good boy and wait for your Slayer to come home, which is amazing. And then Riley's a total fucking dick and threatens to kill Spike. Mm-hmm. Now, what I appreciate in this moment, because I hate Riley for doing this, because I think, mm-hmm. like you said, it's just like you would kill a defenseless thing. Like, that's just... why? Just because it's you're like, jealous or whatever? Like, what's going on here?
It's also kicking him while he's down. Like, it's the scene starts with Riley coming into Spike's crypt and Spike hiding behind a pillar with a crossbow because he is so scared of demons coming to get him because he's on the demon's bad side that he like needs a, because he usually doesn't use weapons. And so the fact that he has a weapon at all is alarming.
He's afraid,
and then,
yeah.
It's just like, it's just the kind of thing that it's like, even despite all the time that Riley has spent around Buffy and her friends, he still doesn't understand that what the initiative was doing was wrong.
Right.
Because any other sane person looking at that, looking at somebody like Spike, who is essentially an apex predator, being scared enough that someone might come to get him, that he forgoes his normal like mode of defense to pick up something different to try to defend himself is like, that's a huge red flag for like his state of mind and everything. And then to continue picking at him the whole scene. And then at the end to be like, well, Buffy isn't like, can't morally kill you, but like I could. It's just like, where do you get off?
I think what really does it for me is, so Xander has a similar scene with him in season 4. But Xander, I like Xander's, because Xander not only has very specific history with Spike, but what he says to Spike is, I could fight you and you can't do anything, but you're not even worth my time. And he uses his words to just like, and it's still shitty because it's like Spike got neutered essentially. And it's like, it was against his will. And obviously he's an evil thing, but it's still like what the government did was wrong. And so I like that Xander wasn't like, posturing like I will kill you,
because that's the thing is like, as much crap as we give Xander, he is characterized as being kind of a tender person, and so I also don't think he has it in him morally to
do that
to murder something defenseless. And so but I think one thing that I do love about the scene is that when Riley says that and then Spike comes back with, I'd like to see you try, I love that, but then he actually looks terrified.
Yes! Oh my god, that was, I'm shaking to Chris
Rayella. Shaking your hands.
I wrote that, I'm so glad you said that, because I wrote that in my notes. I'm like, as much as I hate what Riley says, I love that Spike is genuinely terrified, because
he knows he'll do it.
It shows that he's not stupid.
Uh-huh.
He's like, and I like that he's like, he postured because he's like, you know, it's Riley and I can... Yeah. And then the moment he realized he's super vulnerable, he's like, fuck. And it wasn't like I need to get rid of Riley when Riley left. It was just like, fuck my life. And
it leads
to where he goes and tries to do the thing later on. It's just like, fuck, what am I doing?
And I think it's also super interesting because this is like the, aside from when he very first got the chip put in, he never actually looks scared when he's around Buffy or Willow or Giles or Xander. He's never actually scared.
Yeah.
And I think it's because he knows they won't kill him. Like, they talk a big game, but he's like, so do I. We all talk a big game. None of us are going to actually kill each other. Like, that's not how it's going to happen.
Right.
But I think he can't quantify Riley, because on the one hand, he's like, well, he's boring and he's a soldier who can only take orders. But on the other hand, he's like, but he is kind of a wild card because he doesn't have any kind of history with me. I never helped him save the world. Like, you know... because I think he knows deep down that Buffy is like, well, Spike helped, he could maybe help again.
Yeah.
So why would I take out like another stronger player?
Right.
But Riley is, he's a wild card, I think.
I think Spike's like, oh, fuck, this guy's unhinged. I'm not going to push those buttons.
This is even like the most hinged he is going to be all season.
Oh, my God. This Riley mountain fall is going to be.
It's so intense. It's so fast. It's just, ugh.
I'm curious if there was a reason. Because I can't imagine this was the plan all along. Like, hey, let's have Buffy have a mediocre boyfriend and then just, like, nosedive him in season five.
I don't know. Maybe it's, like, I mean, Buffy needs to be pretty beaten down by the end of this season.
Yeah.
And that's definitely part of it.
Yeah. That's true. And then Dracula shows up in Buffy's room. Ay, ay, ay. He has a thrall over Buffy and he drinks her blood. I remember seeing that act out live and I was like, ah, what? And he notices Angel's bite and says Angel was unworthy.
Well, so was the master.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the master.
She's got two scars, I think. Yeah.
She covers her bite wound the next morning. I think mostly because she's embarrassed.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's embarrassed, but I think she's also processing like what he said, and so she's trying to work through it without everybody
people
talking about
her,
it. And then I do think she is embarrassed, but then I also do think that she is still under the thrall, and she's like, if no one sees it, they won't know that I am.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. And then the Scoobies and Donuts. This is the fight the dark masturbator.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Well, I think we have Dracula factoids.
Lucky name, that's enough to fight the dark master. Bader.
I love that Xander's switch. Xander's comedy in this episode is so great. The way he's just like obsessed with Dracula. And everybody just like, what are you doing? What are you talking about, you fucking weirdo?
I think they kind of all clock it, but I think they don't. They clock that it's weird, but I don't think they definitely don't realize that he's under the thrall until he like shoves Anya in the closet later. But it's so funny.
It's so funny. Buffy's distracted the whole time. Dracula.
Also, her outfit is insane.
Oh yeah,
she's wearing like pink leather pants and then like a black blousey top, and then she's got that stupid. There's scarf. Like also the loudest scarf. Like, why didn't you just wear a turtleneck? Like, I know you own a black turtleneck. I've seen you wear it before. Maybe you wanted to wear a black top. Yeah. Wear that with the pink.
She
pants.
Wanted to be found out. Apparently,
ridiculous.
But yeah, everybody is just ignoring Xander. I mean, staring at him, but. Just like that's Xander being weird as usual.
Yeah.
Riley. Okay, so Riley getting physical with Buffy irks the shit out of me.
Take off that scarf.
What? No.
You're under the thrall of the Dark Prince.
I am not under the thrall of the Dark Prince.
Then take off the scarf.
Let go of me. This is ridiculous.
Him grabbing her arm and she says, let go of me. And he's like, no. Like, I am for confronting Buffy because they're worried and they're like, you know, if she's under the thrall, it's like, it's one thing to be like, no, Buffy, tell us, are you under the thrall? But to grab her arm and like not let go and be forceful.
And
I
then
was just
to
like,
he yanks the scarf off her.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I'm Mm-mm. like, this is not the move, sir.
Definitely not.
It's passive aggressive. Oh, God. And then I wrote, it's passive aggressive and shitty that he brings up Angel as understanding why she would be okay with Dracula biting her. I'm like, you absolute piece of garbage.
No, it's okay. I shouldn't take this personally. I mean, well, with Angel, I mean, it's understandable that there would be transference. I mean, they're both broody immortals.
First of all, she was deeply in love with Angel when she did that. Whether that is, you know, appropriate or not, or like whether I'm all like, I'm into that or not, which I'm definitely not.
Outside things aside, how she felt was...
She was deeply in love with him, and he was going to die. So she let him drink from her. That is and in this one, this is not her fault, because she is under a thrall. And he has this habit, and he has, like, the whole time, of putting all of the onus on Buffy for these situations. And I'm just like, some of these things were not her choice. And the ones that were her choice were made with like full forethought. Like, she knew what she was doing when she let Angel drink from her. And it was a very on purpose, like logically thought out decision, because she was like, I need this fighter by my side.
Right.
What else am I supposed to do? And he just makes it into this like weird power play shit, and I just hate it every single time.
It's like a gaslighty thing. The way he says it too, because it's like the implication is that Buffy's a dumb girl who just easily falls in love with vampires, and it's like, that is such a simplification and absolutely not what's going on.
No,
like what she had with the relationship was a 3-year quote unquote relationship, but like it was 3 years of being in love with someone. Not Angel was a random vampire that she let bite her because she's into vampires, you fucking dipshit. Like,
it's also like, I think that folds into my thing about this like being the thesis statement of the season too, because like some of the things that Dracula is telling her are correct.
Yeah.
Like, their powers are very similar. And I think this is sort of stuff that Riley is picking up on too, where it's like, she cannot have something fulfilling with a human man.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work out. And so I think it's like, obviously she doesn't go for it for like a while, but I think it's part of like getting, maybe even just getting the audience there to be like, she kind of actually needs to be with a vampire. Like, it can't, it just is not going to work otherwise. She's not going to be satisfied by anything that's quote unquote average or normal. And it just like, it's the thing that drives me nuts with the, with like most, even the Buffy and Angel people. I'm just sort of like, I don't know how you can maintain that as your like end all be all ship when the Buffy and Spike stuff just hangs together so much more perfectly. It's just so much more perfect the way that it all hangs together. I don't know. It's just so much more satisfying in a way. Like, it just makes sense. And it starts making sense from the most sense from now.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it always makes sense because, like I said, way back when we were in season two, when Spike is introduced, they are introduced as equals, and they maintain that equality through everybody's power fluctuations.
Yeah.
But like, she and Angel are always in a power imbalance, and more often than not, like 99% of the time, he is the one with more power in a gross way. And so I just like, I don't know. This episode's not about that, but like, this is the episode where I think the writers actually started being like, this is what we need to be paying attention to.
Yeah. And yeah, it's definitely, this is another reason why season 5 is such a, I think, a huge fan favorite, because they really like hone in on like, okay, what's all the stuff that's working? Let's make this work. Let's get rid of this garbage.
Yeah.
And let's make this all work, which is really great. Then they realize Joyce invited Dracula in, which is funny. And they make the joke of avoid men altogether.
Yeah.
Anya's annoyed that Xander's watching Buffy and he just shoves her in a closet, which, it's, you know, it's mean, but it's
so
hysterical.
Funny.
It's so funny. She's like, hey, what the fuck?
It's also, it's mean, but it's like, it's not something you can blame Xander for because he's like, he's also under the thrall of the dark masturbator. The thrall, and so he's like, he obviously is doing it against his will, but I just think it's really funny. And then Buffy is like, take me to him. And it's so good.
I love how unfazed she is when he's like, there's this whole thing where I get to be immortal. And she's like, take me to him.
Yeah.
Which it could be argued, you know, she's not under the thrall in this moment. And she's, or at least thinks she's not under the thrall. And is like, I'm going to pretend so that I can go get close to Dracula and kill him, because that's how that's what she tries to do when she gets there.
Yeah.
And then she shows up, and I love that twist where she's like, pulls out the stake and he's like, put it down. And she's like, wait, shit. Yeah. No, I mean, I meant to put it down. Like, I love her backing up and she's afraid and she's like, oh shit. I mean, can I leave?
Yeah.
Riley and Giles find the mansion, and it's funny because they mention,
I've lived in Sunnydale a couple of years now, and what I've never noticed before,
a castle,
a big honking castle.
I love that that's them addressing the elephant in the room, because it's like, why is there a giant castle in Sunnydale?
But they don't actually
answer why it's there. It's just like, magic. Where the fuck did this come from?
Yeah.
Buffy and Dracula doing their dance. Dracula wants to spend an eternity discovering her power, which I think is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like playing with the idea of like a 1,000-year-old Slayer vampire, like, with all of that, all that power and history and knowledge and really tapping in. I'm sure there's been fanfics of it or wherever, but
so many. There's like a handful that are like Buffy, like Dracula manages to turn her in this episode, and then it's like, I mean, all the ones I read are with Spike, so he ends up being like the one that finds her after, and like he like helps her and stuff. And it's
the
like
fanfics always end with, and then they bone.
And then they bone. Why else would I read them if they don't bone?
It's all these avenues that always end up in Buffy.
Yeah, of course. That's like. That's what's so fun about fanfic is it's like, sure, every single one of them, they're going to bone, but it's like the journey. It's how
they
get there. Yeah,
but how do we get there? I love it. Xander confronts Riley and gets punched. It's funny. Dracula cuts open his arm. He says the restless line, you think you know.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy drinks from Dracula. And she gets, I love that she gets the visions and it kind of like wakes her up. It's like, it is this whole journey was a helpful thing for Buffy. But then at the end of it, she's like, this is fucking gross.
Yeah, I love that too. It's very funny.
It's very fruit punch mouth. It's very like, ugh. Uh-huh. And then Riley rescues Giles. I cackle every time Giles goes, oh, silly me, my shoe. I'll just go get it.
Because he's like been abducted by the brides of Dracula, which I think is so funny that they're just like all over Giles. Because it also, it's like, that's what happens in Bram Stoker's Dracula. They like get Keanu Reeves. They get Jonathan. And so I just don't know. I think it's so hysterical. And he's like knows that he's like up a creek, kind of, that he's like in trouble, but he's also like, well, they're hot.
This
though.
Is nice. Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, dear God.
Stay.
And then Buffy and Dracula fight, and Buffy does the super jump that we talked about in season one, where we were like, when does she ever jump this high again? And here she does it
right now.
4 seasons later. So she jumps up and she stakes him, which is really great. Xander's pissed.
You know what, I'm sick of this crap. I'm sick of being the guy who eats insects and gets the funny syphilis. As of this moment, it's over. I'm finished being everybody's butt monkey.
Yeah.
I do like Riley giving Giles shit. He's like, Giles was just like fucking
making
going
it
to town.
With them, yeah.
Although I'm like, Riley, you would be doing the exact same thing. You piece of shit.
And he will be later.
And he will be. Riley took notes. He was like, oh, what are you doing out there?
Must be nice, huh?
Yeah, that looks like you enjoyed that. Dracula comes back and Buffy stakes him again. I love the joke. I love the joke in this episode of like, he's not going to die. And then I love the implication and what we got in the comics. Because him and Xander are basically not friends, but like they're sub friends. Like,
sure.
They like each
more
other.
More than acquaintances.
He doesn't control Xander in the comics. And like Xander's able to call on him for help, which I think is cute. And I like that. And then Buffy and Giles. This is where Buffy and Giles talk. Giles is definitely planning on telling Buffy.
Yeah.
And Buffy says her thing. I really like what Buffy says. I just love the acting from both of them in this scene.
Oh, yeah.
It's so honest and feels so true to their characters. And Giles just kind of like feeling like he has purpose in hearing what she has to say, where he was legitimately leaving, like, I have despite everything that we said about like, well, you could still help Willow and you know Buffy still needs you emotionally, like all that aside, he felt like nobody needed him, and then to hear Buffy say like, no, I need you, which I think is also partly why it's still wrong that he wanted to surprise Buffy and like get everything out, but I think it's partly why he did it, because he knows if he just said, I'm gonna leave, you don't need me, she would say, no, I do need you, and he wouldn't be able to say no, and he was like, I need to make this decision and like make it happen, because I won't be able to turn Buffy down.
Yeah,
whether or not, you know, we obviously don't agree that that's right, but like I think that's what was going through his head.
Sure. I mean, I can agree with that. I also do think there's like a remarkable level of like self acknowledgement from Buffy. I think she's really being self-aware in this scene, where she's like, I especially the fact that she admits that she's been hunting, which like the last time that we had anything kind of like that was with Faith. And so I think she understands what it means for her to admit that she's been doing that, which is like has a vaguely negative connotation because of how, you know, Faith operated and everything. So I love the self-awareness of her just sort of knowing, just being like, I know what I've been doing and I know what could happen if I keep doing this without any guidance. And so like, I need the guidance. And
that's it. Even,
yeah. And it even does go back to the Yoko Factor episode where when Giles is drunk, he's like, you've never trained with me anymore. He's going to kick your ass, like, about Adam. Yeah. And I just think it's like, yeah, she has not been, she's been doing her job, but she has not been trying to elevate herself, like, power-wise. And so the, like, the self-awareness of knowing that she needs guidance and also that she's probably going to need help.
Yeah.
And to power herself up a little more, I think it's fantastic. I love everything about that scene.
Yeah, I that's a really good point that you brought up, too, of, like, she's going down a path that Faith went down, not necessarily, she's actively going down. And I think Faith just kind of like naturally gave into it, but she's like, Faith didn't have anybody to guide her. Yeah. And that's where she ended up. And I don't want to be there. I also think it's interesting that because she doesn't like being called a killer, but that's what when she goes into hunting mode, that is essentially what she's doing. She's looking for something to kill as opposed to just patrolling and defending.
Right.
Like she can be like, oh, I'm a slayer. I defend people. I kill because I have to. But when she hunts, she's like actively looking for a humanoid thing to murder.
Because it's a rush.
Right. Yeah. So she's like, this is not going to end well if I just keep doing this and needing to keep making it, you know, like once I get it enough, then I need to, you know, up my game. And so I think, like you're right. It's very introspective. And
I also think one of the things, too, that's so fascinating about this is it's also not the first time she's been called a killer.
Yeah.
Which she balks at it every time. And I think
Adam called her a killer.
Yeah.
Right?
And she's like, no, I'm the slayer. Because she makes a very serious distinction, which I appreciate because I would not call her like a murderer. You know, she's doing a service to the world. And it's whatever. But what I do like is how it ties in with the end of this season.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, it's all about how you use your language. And it's like, it's not that she's a killer. It is about death, like, kind of. And it's just like, it's so fascinating, like watching it all sort of unfold, especially after you've seen it before, because it's like you get that from Adam and you're like, ooh, interesting. And then you get it here from Dracula and you're like, oh, still interesting. But then once you connect it to the end of the season, you're like, holy shit, this is like the best plotted stuff you've ever seen. It's just
so good,
so fantastic.
I think it's also interesting too that she is not a killer because she won't kill Spike. I think Faith early on would kill Spike.
Sure, for sure.
I think if this element was brought on, and whether or not she did, you know,
Faith early on tried to kill Angel for like literally no reason other than Xander told her to.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's why I'm just like, if Faith was presented with this vampire can't hurt anybody, she'd be like, still a fucking vampire, and like, kill him. And I think that line is drawn for Buffy, and she can see herself going toward it and crossing it. And this season is about like finding her center and not being that.
100%.
You're right. It's just such a great journey. And then we go to the mother of all twists.
Yeah.
Buffy, if you're going out, why don't you take your sister?
Mom!
My flippin' Lord, I cannot explain the week of my life that happened between this episode and episode 2. Every day of school, just talking to the handful of friends.
Hell?
Like, yeah, I was just like, I was still in school. I was like, and for anybody who's listening who didn't watch this, like, you know, if you're 20 something, we did not have the ability, like, this had full potential to gaslight us.
We weren't
going back and watching old episodes like, wait, did they ever mention the sister? And you weren't none of that. And anybody could just say like, oh yeah, I think she was, they would talk, I think they talked about, you know, the sister's with the dad or something like that. Like, there was no way.
No way.
You're just watching, you're like, wait, what the fuck? Buffy has a sister? I forgot about that. And then they play it in the next few episodes. Like, yeah, she's always had a fucking always sister. Been there. And you're just like,
and
what?
It is also like the implication at the end of this episode is that she has like just come from Hank's or something.
She's where, like unpacking her bag.
Because Buffy is like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And it's so incredible. And then you're right. We had to wait a whole week to like figure out what was going on. I mean, it was just fantastic. Just like, absolutely. I also, I'm going to say it now, and I'm probably going to say it many more times. I am a Justice for Dawn person. I think people hate her too much. I think all of her behavior is totally acceptable and understandable for a 14, or not even 14. She's like 12 at the beginning, isn't she?
Yeah.
Like, or 13.
Yeah, she's.
All of her behavior is totally appropriate for a 13-year-old dealing with the things she's dealing with. So I also love Michelle Trachtenberg, and I always have. And I think she plays Dawn like pitch perfectly, even when she's being annoying. That's the point of her. She's annoying on purpose.
That's what drives me crazy is like the people who it's like I get being annoyed with Dawn because literally a lot of the time that's her whole point is to be the annoying little sister, especially in the beginning because you're just like, it's supposed to annoy Buffy, so it's supposed to annoy you.
Exactly.
And it's like she's doing everything she's supposed to. So like hating the addition of the character because you don't think that it was performed well. I'm like, this is like Michelle Trachtenberg knocked it out of the park.
Perfect.
And then people often cite like the Get Out, Get Out, Get Out. I'm like, that is one of the most accurate things of a teenage girl. I was like, of a teenage kid, period. Yeah. Like, I've done that. Like,
who hasn't done that?
Yeah, like, I just I love Dawn. I think, and I do get annoyed by her. There's plenty of things that she does where I'm just like, fuck, Dawn, come on.
Yeah.
But I'm also with the Scoobies where I'm like, we've dealt with this.
Uh-huh.
But this is a child who has also had to deal with these traumas that Buffy dealt with, and nobody talked to her about it.
100%. So. I think it should be open with that at the beginning because I don't know how anybody listening feels about Dawn. I am going to come out on her side more often than not.
Yeah.
Just as like a warning, I guess, because I even have friends, like personal friends, who are like, I fucking hate Dawn. She's the worst part of the end of the show. And I'm like, to differ. I think she's actually fantastic. I love the way she deepens Buffy's character. I love the way she deepens Spike's character. I love her. And also, when we were talking earlier about Riley threatening Spike, way later in season 7, Dawn also threatens Spike. But it also is like a totally different animal where she just is like, one day you're going to wake up on fire is like so fantastic.
And Spike is like, good God.
He's like, okay, read you loud and clear. But it's also still not as disgusting. It's not disgusting at all. She's totally valid in making that threat in a way that Riley is not. Like anybody else who threatens Spike does it in a totally valid way.
Yeah.
Whenever Riley does it, I'm like, you jealous, insecure piece of garbage.
Fuck off, Riley.
That's all I can think.
No, and I also love Dawn's growth over the years. Mm-hmm. She's like just where she ends up. And Dawn in the comics is
fantastic.
So good. Massive spoiler alert, sorry.
Yeah.
Dawn makes it to the comics.
Whoops.
Whoops. But yeah, I really enjoy Dawn too. I'm sure there'll be times where we're like, fuck Dawn, come on, shut up. But like for the most part, she does exactly what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the premiere of season 5. I did not
think we were going to talk this long.
I had a feeling we were.
Yeah,
I was so pumped to just like be talking about season 5 and like I don't know about the episodes to come, but I was like, you know, I had a feeling we were going to talk about like all the things to come and all that. So I'm really excited. And then next week is what's the fucking name of the premiere?
The premiere of season 2 of Angel
is Judgment.
Yeah.
Judgment on Angel. So we'll watch that. And that's also very good. So we will see you next time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Trevor Carley.
And I am with my other show, at So I'm Watching, or my personal account at FiddleDD85.
As always, please do all the things, and we will see you next time.
Bye.